we this morning. We don't think those things and we don't see those things. So we want to turn to the word of the Lord this morning, and we're going to look at Deuteronomy 31, and we're going to look at a passage that, so from the Old Testament, we're going to look at the children of Israel. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 31, electronically or paper. I don't know if anybody's using paper Bibles these days. Okay, one or two people. I think it's the British. I see two British. There you go. They're waving at each other right now. And we're going to look at Deuteronomy 31 and looking at the children of Israel as they prepare to leave the 40 years of the wilderness and to go into the new land that God has promised to them. This is Jewish history, but the Bible tells us very clearly in the New Testament that everything that was written in the Old Testament was written to teach us, and it was written for our encouragement. So as we look this morning at this wonderful, really much of Deuteronomy, and this point in Jewish history is such an encouragement for Christians as we go from one season to the next. There are so many principles there that are helpful to us. So we're going to look at Deuteronomy 31 together, and we're going to look at these. I'm going to read through about 8 verses, then we're going to go back and look at it, and I want to ask you to, can I give you some some things to look for as we look at this? Identify the groups or the people that are in this passage. Just kind of pay attention, and then see if you see or recognize, or does a theme or a pattern pop out to you in any way as we read this? Then we'll look at it together. Okay, here we go. Deuteronomy 31. We are not going to sing a song right now. Here we go. I don't know why that's happening. Okay, there we go. Here we go. When Moses had finished giving these instructions to all the people of Israel, what instructions? All of the law, the Ten Commandments, all of these things. When he had finished giving these instructions to all the people of Israel, he said, I am now 120 years old, and I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has told me, you will not cross the Jordan River. But the Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy the nations living there, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua will lead you across the river, just as the Lord has promised. Hang on. The Lord will destroy the nations living in the land, just as he destroyed Sihon and Og, the king of the Amorites. The Lord will hand over to you the people who live there, and you must deal with them as I have commanded you. So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Then Moses called for Joshua, and as all Israel watched, he said to him, be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors he would give them. You are the one who will divide it among them as their grants of land. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. And you should recognize verse 8 there, because it's outside in the hall, and it was in our welcome slide this morning, and this is the theme, and this is the verse that we're going to get to. So as we look at this together this morning, are there some groups of people that you can identify? Groups or individuals? Who are some of the people? Okay, first one is Moses. But Moses, as we can see, is passing from the scene, isn't he? I am now 120 years old, and I am no longer able. I think at 120, I would no longer be able either. But Moses is no longer able for a different reason, as we know very well. So there's Moses. Who's the other individual that's in this? Joshua. So that's the new generation that's coming up. So Moses at one end, Joshua at the other. Who's in the middle? The people, okay? The children of Israel, the people. So we've got these three groups, and as a foundation for all, we have God, because Moses is speaking, but he's giving God's message to them, right? And so we're going to look at this together, and we're going to look at the principles this morning that we see here that are God's encouragement to us as we go into the new year. So here we have Moses, Joshua, all the people of Israel. So when we look at this together, I want you to remember that God had already privately told Moses he would not cross the Jordan River and lead the people over, the people he had led for more than 40 years. Now, Moses isn't our main focus this morning, but we're going to see, I want you to see something, that Moses is not going to complete what he thought he was going to complete, right? From the very beginning. So Moses is not going to be the one to do it. And we know it's because Moses was disobedient earlier. And that's not part of our main message this morning. But because he had not done something very specific that God had told him to do, God said, okay, somebody else is going to complete something else. Somebody else is going to finish. Now, God knew this all along. And God had a purpose for Moses. And God had a purpose for Joshua as well. And instead of this being like, oh no, if I do something wrong, I won't be able to do what God has called me to do. Oh no, if I do something wrong, God's purposes will not be fulfilled in my life. But I want to encourage you this morning. And I want to read to you, look with me at Psalm 138, verse 8. The word of the Lord says, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. For your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the work of your hands. When we look at that, do not abandon the work of your hands. What do you think that means? Do not abandon the work of your hands. What is the work of God's hands? Is it church buildings? Is it this? Is it that? The most important work of God's hands is you. It's you. It's you, brothers and sisters. It is we. We are the work of his hands. And here's this psalmist, and he says, don't abandon the work of your hands. And God says, no problem. I'm not going to. But I want to encourage you, and I want you to think for just a minute. Have there been things in your life that God has called you to do, responsibilities he's given you, purposes and things that he has put in your heart, and at some point in your life, maybe within this last year, you have thought it's not going to happen. You have thought it's going to be cut short. You have thought, I will not be able to do this. This will not be able to be worked out. I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, this morning, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for you. He will. He is more than able. He's more than able. And our part is to seek the Lord. That's one of the reasons we're having this time of prayer and fasting. Our part is to seek the Lord. Lord, what is your purpose for me? What are you going to do in 2022? What do you think God is saying to you? How do you think God is going to lead you? He's not going to tell you all the details usually, nor does he tell me. But what I will tell you is this. God is going to give you, if you will seek him, if you will ask him, if you will open your heart and give him an obedient heart and space for him to speak and to lead and for you to obey, God will give you direction and purpose for 2022. Don't go through this year just thinking, well, it'll be day to day, and what happens has happened. It's just going to happen. C'est la vie. That's just the way it is. That's not the way it is. God has a purpose for his people, and God is a God who speaks. God is a God who communicates, and if you will give him time, he will speak to you his purposes and his plans for the days ahead. Amen? Amen. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Why? Why? For your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever. Because God loves you. God cares about you. You are the work of his hands. He's invested in you. He's invested in your family. He's invested in your future. He's invested in the work of your hands because you are the work of his hands. So here's this principle for us as we enter in this new year. God can fulfill and he will fulfill. I want you to think of Moses, how disappointing it must have been to him when God said, you're not going to be the one to lead these people into the new year. I think it must have been very disappointing, don't you think? I mean, it had been how many years that he had put up with those stubborn, rebellious, sinful people, all those years through the wilderness, and God said, you're not going to be the one. Now, God knew that all along, and God had a purpose, and God had a plan with Joshua. And we look at that, we look back, and we think, Oh, such a shame, such a pity. Moses wasn't the one. But then we look at Joshua, and we know what the name Joshua means, right? And we know the New Testament name of Joshua is Jesus. And here's this beautiful picture for us of going into the promises and the blessings of God, which is what Jesus does in our lives. Amen? So God's purposes and God's plans are set, and he will fulfill them in our lives and through our lives as well. So there's Moses. Now, here are the people, and I want you to think with me for just a minute about the people. Imagine, now they had heard already, this is in Deuteronomy chapter 1, if you go back and read, Moses had already told them, I'm not going to be the one to lead you. But think with me, imagine yourself standing in that group, listening to the words of Moses. This is a younger, except for Joshua and Caleb, who were faithful spies the first time and had remained faithful through all of it. The whole generation that stood before Moses, Moses was the only leader they'd ever known. The only leader they had ever known. And here's Moses, the only one they'd ever known. Think about this. Moses, the one through whom God spoke. Moses, the one who raised his staff and the waters parted. The one who spoke to the rock and water gushed forth. The one who said, prepare, and tomorrow morning you will have bread, when they were hungry. The one through whom God had spoken throughout their lives. And now here he is, and he says, I'm not going to lead you into the promised land. Somebody else is. And as I was meditating on that and thinking on that, I was thinking, Lord, what if those people had said, nope, it's Moses or nobody. I can only be blessed through Moses. Moses speaks to me. Moses speaks my language. And I was thinking about us, and how often have we felt, as things have gone in our lives, no, the one that ministers to me is this person. The one that speaks to my heart, it has to be this person. And if it's not this person, then I'm just not going to be blessed. I'm not going to receive anything. And if we are like that, and if the children of Israel had been like that, they would have missed the purposes and the blessing of the Lord to lead them in. I want to encourage you as we go through our days and as we go through our lives, even here at Lighthouse, think about the years of Lighthouse for those of us who have been at Lighthouse for many years, or in other places as well. Think about the various people and the various times, the people that God has brought, and they were here for a while, and then they were gone. And then they were here for a while, and then they were gone. And should the Lord tarry, at some point, I'm gone as well. No time soon, as far as I know. But you know what? My hair's not really blonde. You thought it was. I'm not a natural blonde. It's hiding the gray hairs. And there's new blood and young blood that's needed as well, right? Just as Moses, as God said, Moses, you're not the one. Joshua is the one. I have a plan for him, a specific purpose for him. There are seasons in our lives, and there are ministries and blessings. Please don't go out and say, oh, Pastor Jennifer's leaving. She's going, oh, no, or yay, whatever you're leaning may be. Because you know what? Honestly, I think in that group of people, there would have been some who probably would have thought, good riddance. Moses is old and grumpy. He's so hard. We're ready for Joshua. And there would have been others who would have said, oh, no, Moses is leaving us. Joshua's just he's a hothead. He's a fighter, but is he a leader? I'm sure there would have been both of those camps. But brothers and sisters, what we do as we move forward, if we're going to move forward, is this. We keep our eyes on the Lord. We keep our eyes on God. And the messages that Moses gave to the people were messages that had come from God. When we receive spiritual blessing, it's because it comes from God. Every work that Joshua had done, every battle that he fought, it was fought not in his own strength, but in the strength of the Lord. And as Joshua is preparing to lead them into this new land, across the river, and into these battles that are yet ahead, it will not be with his own ability. It will not be with his own strength. It will be with what the Lord gives him and equips him with. And that's how it always is for each one of us. Don't cut yourself off from the blessings of God, because the blessings of God come to us in many different ways, through many different people, and many times unexpected ways. There's a wonderful passage in Acts 13:36, and actually that's not the point of this passage, but it illustrates something very specific. Look with me at Acts 13:36. Luke, excuse me, Luke, who penned the book of Acts, is actually talking about Jesus. But look at what he says here, inspired of the Holy Spirit. For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, died and was buried with his ancestors. And that speaks to me of the transition from Moses to Joshua as well. There's a time and a place and a purpose for each one of us. So my question to you is, in the time that we have and the energy that we have, are we serving the purpose of God in our own generation? In our own generation. Are you doing that? Are you doing that? Young people, church is not just about those that are a little bit older, that have gray hair and whatever. Your generation is the generation that has the energy and the enthusiasm and the ability to do some things that some of us are getting a little bit old for. Some of us may be getting a little bit tired to do, but this is your generation as well. And for each one of us, God has a calling and God has a purpose for our generation. And I encourage you, especially those of you who are younger, one of the things we've been doing at Lighthouse is encouraging more and more people step into roles of responsibility, step into roles of leadership. And we see this as we look at Acts 13:36. He'd serve the purpose of God in his own generation. So serve the purpose of God in your generation. Amen? Amen. There's a whole other message there that we're not looking at this morning, but I just want to encourage you. So Moses speaks this message of hope and encouragement, and I want us to look at that just very quickly. The Lord your God himself. Look at that. Start underlining that. Do you see that? The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy the nations living there, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua will lead you across the river, just as the Lord promised. The Lord will destroy the nations living in the land, just as he destroyed Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites. The Lord will hand over to you the people who live there, and you must deal with them as I have commanded you. I want you to see one thing there this morning as we go into 2022. There are things ahead that God has for you in this new year. You cannot do them on your own. Your direction comes from the Lord. Your strength comes from the Lord. Your grace to do these things come from the Lord. There are things that the Lord will do, but there are things that he puts in your hand to do. What does God do? God takes care of one part, but he partners with his people, and he says, the Lord will hand them over. You're going to have to do something as well. And brothers and sisters, this is always the way of the Lord. This is always the work of the Lord. There are things that he does, but he does them in partnership with his people. If you sit back and say, okay, well, Lord, what are you going to do? Things will not happen, and things will not get done. But if you will seek the Lord God himself is going to do some things in this year, in 2022, and as he does those things, he is then, because you're working with him, he is then going to open the door for you, and he's going to put things in your hands to do. God will do his part, and you do your part, and I do my part, and the purposes of God and the plans of God will be fulfilled. Amen. So look with this. So we see this. This is the message that Moses gives to them. So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will what? Personally go ahead of you. He will never fail you nor abandon you. We've now seen that two times. In verse 3, the Lord himself will. We now see in verse 6, the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. And here we have this theme throughout this passage. You may not have noticed that before. You may not even have read it with those eyes before, but I want you to see the personal and present involvement and presence of the Lord with you, with his people, as we go into this new season. Amen. Amen. So this is what he says to the people, and then we come to Joshua. Joshua, into whose hands these people are being passed. What is the message? You all know your Bibles, so let me ask you this, and you've already read it. What is the message that Joshua hears? The phrase, more than anything else. What is it? Be strong and courageous. We read it here in Deuteronomy 31, and when you get into Joshua chapter 1, we read it several more times, and the Lord will say, be strong and very courageous. Do you know that Joshua hears this message how many times? Have you ever counted? Seven. Seven times. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. It will take strength and it will take courage to do the work of the Lord. It will take strength and it will take courage to fulfill God's purposes in your life. If you want to sit there and take it easy, you can, but very little will be worked out in your life or my life or in your family's life, lives, or in your business or in your own life if we take the easy route and just sit back. Be strong and courageous as we go through this year, and God's plans will be worked out through us and in us. Joshua has been with Moses for 40 years. He had seen firsthand. You know what? I've thought about this before. I used to think God was telling Joshua, be strong and courageous, because they were going into a land where there were giants, right? The descendants of Anak, or Anak, however you want to pronounce it. They were the descendants of the giants. And I used to think that was because he's going to have to go and he's going to have to fight a bunch. And that's part of it. But do you know what I think more and more as I've looked at this? I think one of the reasons that Joshua needed encouragement is because he had seen Moses leading these people for 40 plus years. How would you like to lead the children of Israel through the wilderness for 40 plus years? Would you like that? They wanted to stone Moses. They wanted to go back to Egypt. A few days after getting out of Egypt, they had already turned back to idolatry again. Aaron, his own brother, was deceitful. Oh, I did this and this. And look what happened. Look at what happened. It was a hard road to hoe for those 40 plus years. And don't you think, just asking, don't you think in their tent at night, Moses talked to Joshua? Come on. That guy Hezekiah, he's such a pain in the neck. And can you believe it? I told them, and they're still. Don't you imagine there was some of that conversation at times? I expect so. I think one of the reasons that Joshua receives the encouragement, be strong and courageous, he hears it seven times, is because he was going to have to lead these people that were not easy to lead. They were not easy to lead. And Joshua hears it as well. And so in front of everyone, let's look at it together now. Here we come to our theme verse again. And in front of everyone, God, through Moses, gives Joshua the same message that he gave the people. Here's our theme verse. And he says, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Now, some of you have your Bibles this morning, right? With you. Does it say, in your translation, does it say neither fail you nor abandon you, or does it say something else? It may say something else. A lot of translations say, he will neither leave you nor forsake you. That's one of the more common translations. So let me encourage you, it's not a mistranslation in either way. The root meaning of the word, of this phrase, is the same. When it says leave or forsake, leave or abandon, it means the same in the root, in the original meaning, as he won't fail you or forsake you. He won't fail you or abandon you. So here's our theme as we look ahead at 2022. And we've already read it because God has already said it to the people. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Okay, ding, ding, ding. One of the things I asked you to do was to see if you saw sort of a theme or a pattern. Do you see it here in verse 8 again? Again in verse 8. This is now the third time in 8 verses is the truth, is the expression. The Lord will personally go ahead of you, personally. Not just the Lord will go ahead of you, but here's this picture. The Lord will personally go ahead of you, and he will be with you. Before that, it said the Lord himself will. And then in verse 6, the Lord will personally go ahead of you. So here we have this picture. That's where I got the title this morning. And if you are familiar with the life of Moses, this should ring a bell. Do you remember while they were still in the wilderness, one day Moses is talking to God, and listen to what he says. Do you remember this in Exodus 33? One day Moses said to the Lord, "You've been telling me, lead these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me." Remember that? And God says, the Lord replied, "I will," what? "Personally go with you, and I will give you rest." And then Moses said, "If you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place." Isn't it beautiful that Moses, who is giving this final message of encouragement to Joshua and to the people, repeats the encouragement that God himself had given Moses almost 40 years earlier. And God had kept his promise, hadn't he? God had done it. You and I face things and we think, how can I make it? Have you ever thought you couldn't make it through something? I have. We all have. And the promise of the Lord to you, whatever your age this morning, however old you are, you've had more time to prove the faithfulness of God, haven't you? However young you are, you've still got some things to learn about the faithfulness of God, but he keeps his promise to you. And God's promise to you is, I will personally, I myself, I'm not just going to send an angel. I'm not just going to send a blessing. I'm not just going to send a message. I will personally go ahead of you, and I will be with you. And I love that picture because God is both going ahead of them because they've never been this way and they don't know this way, but he's also with them. As I was preparing yesterday, I was reminded of a story that Dad told, and Mom would always chime in with her part as well because it involved both of them from our early years in Singapore, and at that time it was called Malaya, not Malaysia. That was in the early years, so Singapore and Malaya, and you know that's where I grew up. You know that's where Mom and Dad were missionaries, and Dad, who was such a wonderful, we always think of Mom being the storyteller, right? But Dad around the table and informally, Dad was such a wonderful storyteller, and he got it from his dad, who was an even better storyteller. So Dad would tell this story from the early years in the 50s in Singapore and Malaya. And you know how those of you that have been to Singapore before, we think Hong Kong is hot. We think Hong Kong is humid. Go to Singapore. And you'll be so happy to be in Hong Kong. Is that not true? Those of us, it's just hotter and more humid in Singapore than it is in Hong Kong. And every year, our family would go. We always called it up country. We'd go from Singapore to Malaya up into the highlands where it was cooler for a few weeks in the hottest part of the summer. But this was before I was around. My sister and Philip, it was before we were around, so it was in the mid-50s or so. And in the mid-50s in Malaya, there was guerrilla warfare going on. There was an insurgency. I won't use that word. Anyhow, there was a guerrilla warfare going on between two different forces. That's the diplomatic way to say it. And it was going on, and it was quite, so it was guerrilla warfare, and Mom and Dad went up. They decided to go anyhow. So this is the story Dad and Mom would tell. We'd sit around the table, and we would laugh, and we'd think about it, because we knew Dad, and we knew Mom, and we know Mom very well. And so they went up country anyhow, and they rented a colonial planter's house. Big and rambling, high ceilings out in the rubber plantations, because at that time there were a lot of rubber plantations in Malaya and in Malaysia, as we call it now. And they were warned that they shouldn't go because it was very unsettling. There was a lot of sporadic violence here and there. And the place that they had rented up this mountain trail the week before, the guerrilla fighters had captured one of the people in the area and had killed him at the foot of the pathway going up to this house. But Dad is brave and strong. He was strong and very courageous. And so they went anyhow, and Dad said, "We'll be okay, we'll be okay." And so they were renting this house for a couple of weeks or so. And I won't give you all the details, but Dad said every night there would be bombing, there would be shelling from one mountaintop over to the other mountaintop. The forces here would poo, and the bombs and the artillery would choo, go over the top, and he'd hit that side, and then poo, he'd come back over that side. But they were in the middle, so they were okay, and it was flying overhead. So, and in the daytime, Mom said, "Oh, it was just wonderful. It was so lovely." And then one night, about halfway through, in the middle of the night, they heard, it woke them up, glass breaking in the house. And when they heard the glass breaking, so they're in the bed, and Mom said, "We knew the gorillas had come to get us." Because that was the only explanation. It was very isolated, this colonial planter's house. And Dad said the same thing. "We knew that they had come to get us, these foreigners who were there, who must be pro-government or something like that. And they knew they have come to get us, and they're going to murder us." And so they're in their bed like that. And so Dad, being strong and courageous, got out of bed. And he got there was a fireplace in their room, and he got a big iron poker, you know, for the fire. So he got that. And he thought, "Well, they're not going to kill us in our bed." So he gets that because he was strong and courageous. So Mom's in the bed. And what does Mom do? She does not stay in the bed. She jumped out of the bed. And as Mom describes it, "I was right behind Dad. And if Dad took a step forward, I took a step forward. And he took another step, and I took a step. And wherever he went, I was right behind him all the way through," as they went around checking all the windows to find out who had gotten in. And they never found a broken window. And in the morning, they discovered that something had fallen over in another fireplace and had broken a glass jar. No. So, oh, but Mom and Dad told the story much better than that. And we would just laugh. But I thought of that picture yesterday, as I thought of what God says to the people and to Joshua. "Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you," just as Dad went ahead of Mom. He wasn't going to make Mom go. You think Mom was going to go first? Forget that. Mom wouldn't have gone first. Mom was not strong and courageous. Dad went first. In front of you. Whichever pathway you walk, he's beside you. He will not fail you nor abandon you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. And those two words, afraid and discouraged, as I was meditating on them yesterday, I saw in those two words a time element. Do you see the time element? When we are afraid, usually we're afraid of something that's ahead, aren't we? What if? Oh, how many of you have lain awake at night and what if has crawled through your brain and kept you awake? What if this? What if I lose my job? What if the doctor says this? What if this happens? What if COVID, fill in the blank? What if this relationship? What if? What if the economy? What if? And the devil uses fear to paralyze us. It stops us, doesn't it? He uses fear to paralyze us or to push us into making wrong decisions. Fear does other things as well, but those are the two things. We either say, and we don't do anything. As all of the soldiers of Israel, when Goliath would roar out his challenge and they would run in fear every single time, fear either freezes us or we make wrong decisions. And God says, don't be afraid. Why? Because I'm ahead of you and I'm with you. And don't be discouraged. What's the time element of discouragement? The time element of discouragement is when you have been going through something over and over and over again. Am I right? You've been praying for something and the answer hasn't come. You've been doing what you know to do and nothing has changed. You've been trying to give grace and it gets thrown back in your face again and again. And you've been trying to forgive and you keep getting, the offense keeps coming. And discouragement makes us lose hope and want to give up in the midst. Discouragement a lot of times stops our prayers because we think, what's the point, right? I've been praying so long. It may be an illness that we're going through. Oh God, please help. Oh God, please heal. And discouragement robs our days of joy and of hope. And God is a God of joy, and God is a God of hope. And because he is with you personally, and because he is going ahead of you personally, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. The Lord will personally go ahead of you. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Has somebody ever failed you before? All of us would say yes. Has somebody ever abandoned you before? You wanted to count on them and they left you on your own. I got your back, but they didn't. All of us have faced that. But brothers and sisters, the one who goes ahead of you and the one who is with you in 2022 will neither fail you. That means you can count on him, and he will not abandon you. He's not going to leave you on your own. What if, just think back to the story I told about mom and dad, one step at a time. What would it have done to mom if dad had suddenly run off and left her alone in the dark? We might as well just put her in a grave right then. She wouldn't have survived. She wouldn't have made it. He wouldn't have done that. Why? Because he was responsible for her. He wouldn't have done that. Why? Because he loved her. He wouldn't have done that. Why? Because of their relationship. That's just an earthly example. How much more you and I, as God's workmanship, as God's children, as God's beloved, can count on him in this new year, whatever happens. COVID may shut us down again. It may. We don't know. This may happen, that may happen. The business may fail. There may be a report from the doctor. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. The Lord will fulfill his purposes through you and in you. And the Lord himself personally will go ahead of you and will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Amen. Amen. Let me pray for you as we close this morning. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, we thank you for your promises to us because you keep every promise you make. Oh God, you will personally go ahead of us in this year. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen with relationships. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen with health. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen with my family. But Lord, you are going ahead of me personally. You are invested in me personally. And you will be with me. You will not fail me. You will not abandon me. Therefore, when the temptation comes for us to be afraid, I will not fear. When the temptation comes for me to be discouraged and to give up, because it's not going to change, it hasn't changed yet, I will not give in to discouragement. For you will fulfill your purposes for me and through me, and bring me in to the land of your promise, the land of grace and blessing and provision. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, 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 amen. God bless you, beloved. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Amen.